Q&A now.
Hi, I have a few questions.
Yeah,
at least one.
Well, they're into this microphone. Stick into here. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So I wanted to ask, on any given day, how many chemtrail spraying aircraft are active worldwide?
All of them. Basically, the entire commercial fleet. I mean, they don't spray every day, but like all commercial airlines spray. And it's hard for me because I can't be everywhere. Mm-hmm. But on days when they spray, every freaking plane sprays. And when they're not spraying, you either don't see them or they're using a different mix that doesn't persist.
Okay, now I wanted to ask, are the pilots of the aircraft aware of / complicit with the spraying program? Are the various air traffic agencies aware or involved?
They're aware of it, but I wouldn't say they're complicit. Because there's the murder. They can't, if you say something really bad happens, plus the deployment is done centrally. They don't have a little clipboard where they have to like click a switch to spray when they get to point A. There's no point doing that. There's supercomputers for that.
Okay, I want to ask, how many people are involved with delivering the chemicals to the planes, filling the tanks, etc.? Are they aware of the purpose of the program, and also how much does it actually cost to deliver the chemicals and fill the tanks and whatnot?
It's a massive program. We subsidize it through our airfares. Baggage allowances have been lowered to increase the amount of stuff.
But can you give like a number in terms of the cost?
I have no idea. It's a huge amount. I mean, I'm just guessing from what I see on NASA Worldview.
Patrick, it used to be $5 million a month, but I just read a statistic. I don't remember where it had multiplied considerably, and I was surprised.
But how is it funded?
Well, I can answer that. Remember 2008 when all that money went to Money Heaven? It didn't go to Money Heaven.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's and the thing is, the same people that are doing this are the same ones who print the money. So, I'm not saying it's the banks, but the scumbags the scumbags control, military, governments, education, healthcare. Aviation, manufacturing, mining, and all that sort of stuff. They can do whatever they want.
Now, how do the people involved in the spraying program protect themselves and their families from the chemicals that are being sprayed?
They don't.
No.
But why do they participate then?
Why do they drop bombs in the West Desert? Why am I a downwinder? It's because they didn't care. It's all for national security reasons.
The aerotoxic syndrome. If you people who work up at 30,000 feet are dropping like flies. That includes pilots, air crews, and frequent flyers. They don't protect. The top guys, they get the full protection. I'm not quite sure how many layers down get that as well, but.
Okay, now I did want to ask, if a person were interested in becoming an active participant in the spraying program, how and where would they apply for such a job? Like,
United Airlines, Raytheon, MITRE Corporation.
Lockheed.
Well, do they have advertisements?
No, they don't advertise. It's a covert program.
U.S. Air Force.
But the thing is, like, there are many, it's not just, they're spraying aluminum. They're all is, weird bio stuff that you can, first of all, if I wanted to be a geoengineer, you go into earth sciences or bioethics, and now they have bioengineering programs, places like Stanford, bioengineering? Oh, hell no. So, yeah, but when you get into those corporations, it's a need to know thing. It's all compartmentalized.
A company called Maxygen, I remember talking about a while ago, that used to be part of supplying the spray to some of these. And the spray also has a nickname. It's called Panther Piss. They put it in the fuel additives sometimes and they fly it out.
Who calls it Panther Piss?
The military. The Air Force does. Yeah. It's called Panther Piss.
And how is the program coordinated internationally? Is there a central planning committee or is it more franchise by franchise?
Again, this is difficult because if you look at masonry, Like when you, like if you become a Mason, the person who recruits you doesn't tell you who his above people are. It's a need to know. It's very compartmentalized. It's only once you're in, then you're trusted that okay, actually now we can tell you our actual goal is to whatever. They won't say anything until. Well, first of all, they can trust you, and the way they can trust you for the higher up stuff is get you to do something depraved and awful. I mean, that's why there's the pedophilia stuff's coming out all over the place. And when you're controllable, and also everyone who has operational knowledge of this is they let them know in no uncertain terms what's going to happen, and they do show examples of people who have. Loose lips sink ships kind of thing. Bad things happen to them and their families.
I wanted to answer the question about money and companies. Mm-hmm. DARPA, $6.7 million grant to Maxygen for the deployment of aerosolized vaccines and anti-biological agents. That was back in the 1980s it was that group. Evergreen Air also was part of this. They actually were dropping trails as well. Helicopters were fitted to drop trails. The Navy was responsible for Operation Sea Spray in San Francisco. Sea Spray was a chemtrail operation that was done with the fog here in San Francisco. There was also Operation Popeye, Operation Cloverleaf. All these groups were all part of a agent vulnerability study by dropping trails in the skies over parts of the United States, including Alaska and Hawaii.
I mean, the thing is, it is huge, and there's a lot of people involved, and a lot of it is done by compartmentalization. I think on super heavy spray days, when like there's this program called Flight Radar 24, where you can just like point up and it'll show you what plane is spraying. There are days where most of the planes don't show up on that, and I think these unmarked ones, I think a lot of them are drones, because the only reason we have pilots today is because passengers are uncomfortable getting on the robot airplanes for now. That might change when people normalize self-driving cars, which I'm also against. But yeah, it's compartmentalization, and I think a lot of the military who do know about it, they are told, yeah, first of all, national security. Secondly, oh, it's to save you from global warming. And these are, they keep really close watch on them. And also, you got to remember that, because people say, oh, well, how can they hide something so big?
We couldn't want to ask, they keep a close watch on whom? I'm just trying to follow what you're saying.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Who keeps a close watch on whom?
Let me finish. So the example I use, you can't keep a big secret. Manhattan Project, 100,000 scientists plus all support personnel. And people say, well, now, yeah, we've got Twitter and Facebook. They can easily get that information out. Yeah, but that works both ways. The surveillance people have on us is granular, and it's so far beyond 1984. With the telescreens, and it would be impossible for them to get it out. And even if they did, there's ways of getting, they can control the information, sadly.
So I did want to ask, if the program is international, how many people in each participating national government are involved?
Well, the top layers of the government,
Can you give us a number?
About the top layers, the senior people in all governments are all aware of it, but it's not run by the countries. The countries do it because there is a supranational thing that is coordinating it all. Who that is, I don't know. I just call them the scumbags.
But you don't know how many scumbags there are.
6,000. Well, according to
where do you get the 6,000 from?
David Rothkopf's book Superclass came out in 2005. He was the head of the Kissinger Group. He said globally, math the number 6,000. He might be talking to the U.S. Anglo-American establishment. I'm not sure if he was including Japan, Africa, and all these other places, but those are the top guys, whoever they are. And we might not even know any of their names, because why should they even tell us their names?
Now, you say it's primarily the commercial airliners that are doing this.
Yeah.
Are the pilots who train to fly, are they aware of... you know, are they aware of or complicit with it? I mean, are they briefed? They're
just like if you call up a weather station or a political office. If you first get on the phone with an intern who doesn't know about this, they'll be all concerned. Like, oh, I'll look into it. And the next time you speak to them, no, those are just vapor trails. They get the talk. You know, it's just, you know, like nobody spoke.
But what is the talk? I mean, what kind of talk?
Yes, it's going on. If you say something about it, very bad things will happen to you and your family and your dog and your whatever.
Well, I just want to ask in that case, which people have said, which people working in a capacity with an airline have said things?
There was a guy from Evergreen Air that lived in McMinnville, Oregon.
Mm-hmm. What was his name?
I don't know what his name was.
But that doesn't help me.
I'm just giving you an example. I don't know his name, but I know he worked for Evergreen Air. He lived in McMinnville, Oregon. He went into a bar, opened his mouth about what he was involved in, some spraying group. They thought he was talking about crop dusting. And it was something more sophisticated than that. He ended up being found shot in his house. Now, we can say that it was...
What year was this?
Oh, my God. It was probably...
Evergreen hasn't been active for a while.
No, not before 5 years ago. I mean, go ahead. They've been out of business now.
And you don't know his name?
I don't know his name because, I mean...
But that doesn't help me.
Well, it's not top-of-the-mind awareness. I mean, it'd be like me asking you, you know, who's the president of Yugoslavia? Can you give it to me? No, because it's not on your top-of-mind awareness.
That's not relevant to this discussion.
It is relevant. It's relevant because you're basically asking me, and I can't give you the name, but I can give you the instance, and you can look it up in the instance if you'd like.
But, you know, if there's gaps in your information...
There's no gaps. I just...
I asked you what his name was, and you didn't know.
Wait, that's not a major gap. Actually, can I interrupt here? This is an example of Rule 19. Rule 19 is ignore presented evidence, demand impossible proof. I can't tell you the names of the people who are running this covert program because it's covert. I have no security clearance, to quote Ken Caldera. So I can't tell you the numbers, the cost, the all that sort of stuff, but I can see it going on, and people are dropping like flies.
But wait a minute. The thing of it, though, is when people study, you know, ecological phenomena, especially, you know, things where there's pollution or other emergencies, they do keep tabs on the numbers and on the statistics.
No, they don't. The EPA stopped testing. They stopped reporting. Increasing levels of aluminum in the atmosphere in 2002 as the program was ramping up.
The
EPA won't even tell us how many people died last year.
The military also dropped all questioning about downwinder programs after the testing of nuclear weapons in Nevada and how the fallout hit Hurricane St. George and Cedar City, Utah. All of those people were left behind in the cold because they wanted to sue for damage that were done. They were told there would be no problem with the fallout landing in the area. I'm a product of the downwinder situation, and I have no way, no recourse to go to the government and say, oh, by the way, I have kidney cancer. I've had it 3 times, and I'm destined to have more cancer in my life. And every time I get close to the knife, I'm probably going to end up getting closer to death because of a test that went on 60 years ago, 70 years ago.
Yeah, let's have one more question. We've got another one here.
Oh, yeah, okay. Thanks for being a good sport.
No, me too.
Yeah, it just seems that if somebody at this point hasn't seen what's going on in the sky and hasn't done their own research, we're not in a position to prove to that person stuff that we have gathered through years of research. It cannot be done. So if that hasn't been delivered to you, I don't think that you can blame us or go away thinking that it's just a bunch of wingnuts.
I was just merely asking questions about the information.
I mean, I appreciate the questions, and I appreciate the other side. I appreciate the shill because they keep
us honest.
No, I'm not saying you're a shill. I'm not saying a shill. You just use a shill technique.
I think he wants to.
Of course, I don't know all the answers, but I do know
what it is. Everything checks.
research and we'll put it in
the I mean, well,
if everything could check, we wouldn't be sitting here, you know? Seriously.
You know, we should have stadiums full of people.
Well, one thing is, it's like asking, can you prove that your parents love you? No, I know they do.
Yeah.
Can you prove that your parents love you? Can you prove your parents love you?
I'm not altogether convinced, and that's completely a whole other show.
Well, it's just the same thing. I mean, there are a lot of things that are going on that we can see, that we do feel, that we do know statistics show, that we have a lot of people in this country that are having these sicknesses, like Epstein-Barr, like fibromyalgia, that the government said it was all in their heads, and now they're providing things like Lyrica and other drugs for people because Big Pharma saw an opportunity in crisis, and with disaster capitalism, they capitalize on everybody's sickness. If you have cancer, if you have anything, you're gonna be a slave to Big Pharma for the rest of your life because they haven't found a damn cure, and they're continuing to spray us and continuing to make us sick. So there's no way in hell that you're gonna tell me that statistics in this country who claim to have the best healthcare system in the world is not having more people in hospitals wondering what the hell just happened to them.
So are you curious about the increase in like Alzheimer's and COPD and
well, I was, I read up about it.
Yeah. Well, they're not publishing. The only concern the CDC won't say what how many people died last year and what they died of. Does it not bother you?
It never came up for me.
Because they wouldn't report it. Don't you think that's kind of odd? It's like number one cause of death in the UK now is overtaking heart attack, cancer, and stroke. Now, maybe I'm curious why that might be.
Yeah, but, you know, why are you asking me these questions when you won't answer the ones I already asked?
Well, I told you these are, a couple of these are covert programs, and of course I don't. I'm not part of the budget office of these programs. I'm not the guy who set them in motion.
Well, I mean, if this is a covert program, I mean, the thing is, when you have a large-scale conspiracy, one of the things that causes it to be doomed to fail is the fact that somebody gets careless, gets sloppy, gets a big mouth. I mean, you have Watergate, one example of someone getting sloppy and careless. There's also,
How about the Manhattan Project?
Well, I'll read up about the Manhattan Project.
Oh, the atom bomb.
That's the atom bomb. They were making an atom bomb until they dropped it on
100,000 scientists. All right, so, please.
The benefit of having questions like those is that when that person finally does see it a different way, then that is a turning of the tide. We've been activists for a long time. I got it because of nutrition and the crappy nutrition. So it was no surprise that fluoridation was bad. No surprise that vaccinations were bad. No surprise that this was happening, that 9/11 was a red flag. But for most people who have a very optimistic view of life, they don't understand that these bad things can happen. When they say, I used to think there was no problem, and now I know that this is real, those are the people that will convince their whole community, because that's what those people were known for.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anybody? Please.
Yeah, it's too bad that guy left, because I was going to bring up a new whistleblower who just came out. His name is Ronald Bernard. You might want to write that down. This guy, Ronald Bernard, he's Dutch. He does speak pretty good English.
Awesome.
Once in a while, if we want to talk about the 6,000, he says it's only 1,800 people rule this planet. And it is the elite bankers, because when you control the money, which is fiat money, it's not based on anything anymore, you have unlimited funds to roll out. And what I also would have told him is about the black op projects. Remember the day before 9/11, Donald Rumsfeld said, $2.3 trillion just gone. And they just announced another six-some trillion. So now we're talking about half of our national debt can't even be accounted for in these black operations. So
Like Men in Black, it wasn't about like $10,000 toilet seats. It wasn't just that.